take a minute because I don't know, some of you don't know me very well, but I am going to seminary, so I've learned a couple things, and one of the things that I didn't really want to do was have five different types of Bibles, but I learned that interpretation is important, and so some of the Bibles that you use can shorten things, and some of them can elongate things and give you extra history, so I thought that it was important in this instance to also read the NIV version of this, and it was the subject line was love in action, and it says love must be sincere, hate what is evil, cling to what is good, be devoted to one another in love, honor one another above yourselves, never be lacking zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer, share with the Lord's people who are in need, practice hospitality. So there is a difference there, but the biggest difference that I want to note is that the first one says we should be taking care of strangers. The second one doesn't even mention strangers. So I want you to think about the differences in some of those, and I want to let us realize that sometimes we pick the versions that we favor and what suits our daily needs and what suits our lifestyles. Sometimes we have to be pushed out of our comfort zone. So there are a few words in here that I thought maybe I should go into. And one of them was ardent. So ardent is an adjective, and it's basically describing passion, impassioned, fervent, wholehearted. But then it has my favorites, because this just brings me to life. Red hot, burning, fiery, on fire, blazing, ablaze. That just is more my style. So that's the one I chose. Fervor is also mentioned in ardent, but fervor is a noun, and that stands for passion, ardor, intensity, zeal, emotion, warmth, sincerity. And then it has my favorite, which is intense heat. So just a little bit of like how I choose to perceive things. I like the more colorful things that make me want to feel alive, and I'm like, I just want to be on fire for God, right? Now, we know that although one is used as an adjective and the other is a noun, they're aiming towards the same thing, right? The reason I kind of explain that is because one leaves out that very important word, that stranger word, and I want you to hold that. I want you to keep that in your mind while I move on, because I'm going to come back to that. But first, I would like to talk about love. When I read the scripture, it brought me to many thoughts. And when it says love must be sincere and genuine, and you forward to the end of the scripture where it says contribute to the needs of saints, extend hospitality to strangers, or share with the Lord's people who are in need, practice hospitality. Although, again, those are kind of saying the same thing. We pick and choose what we apply to our lives. We need to be careful of that and should not limit ourselves to what we favor, as I just explained. Now, keeping that in mind, this brought me to the word love and the meaning. Well, we have the Bible's description of love, right? Everybody knows. And if you don't, that's 1 Corinthians 13:4-13. And I'm not going to read all of that. But this kept calling to me. And the one thing that did keep calling to me was the last part, verse 13. And now, these three remain. Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. So this got me to thinking of how some people show and receive love. In my head, I'm thinking, God, where are you leading me with this? Because I'm not quite sure how this is all going to fit in. And then I thought how I receive love from others and how we receive love from God. I thought of how God has delivered me through worship and given me affirmation that he is with me at all times and that he placed me right here in Mount Air. See, God knows us well, and he knows us so well that he speaks our love language to get through to us. There was something that stuck out to me about love language, because everyone is built different, right? So for this sermon, I would like us to take a look at the five languages of love, and they're up there. And there have been studies that show that people relate mostly to these five. I'm sure there's more, but these five. So words of affirmation, physical touch, quality time, acts of service, and gifts. Now, I want you to think for a minute of what your love language is. In your relationships with your partners, in your relationships with your children, in your relationships with people at your job, it affects every aspect of your life, right? For me personally, I adore acts of service. You could take out the trash for me and I'm jumping up for joy. I will remember that on my deathbed. I'll be like, remember that time that you took out the trash for me? Thank you so much. You could give me a necklace and chances are that may end up somewhere. Okay, that's just me and that's my personal thing. I also love quality time. I love spending time with people. I love getting to know their stories. Now, for those who need an example of the five love languages, I thought I would simplify it a little bit. So I searched the internet, as Georgina tells me to do once in a while, and I found this gem by Joshua Perez. So he simplifies things a little bit, and you'll see where my mind went. The five languages of love: words of affirmation. Your tacos are delicious. Acts of service. I made you tacos. Receiving gifts. Here's a taco. Quality time. Let's go out together and get some tacos. Physical touch. Let me hold you like a taco. So that kind of went with my theme. I was a little hungry. So I thought, well, I wanted to give people a visual at church, but I wasn't going to bring tacos for everyone. So my favorite food is chocolate, and that's why you all have a piece of chocolate today. I think I dropped mine because I ate mine on the way here. Just saying. They have little messages of affirmations in there. That's why I like Dove so much. But I feel that this was appropriate, and it says, don't talk about it, just be about it. And that is crazy because it kind of goes with my sermon. So my words of affirmation spoken with chocolate would be me telling the store attendant, this chocolate that you have available is very amazing. Acts of service. My intentions were to make everybody chocolate, but that just didn't happen. So I made you some of your favorite chocolate. Was going to be that. Receiving gifts. This is me this morning giving you chocolate. Here's some chocolate candy that I brought you just for each and every one of you. Quality time is us eating our chocolate together as a family and church. So I thought that was great. But if I was with somebody else, I'd be like, hey, let's go to that old candy store and let's get our favorite chocolate. Physical touch. I know that was hard for me, so I really had to think about that. And I figured if we ate the chocolate, it would give us those endorphins and we would just want to hug one another. So hug your neighbor. Just feel free. So all that aside, I'll just bring it to a serious note. We're thinking about our love language and why. But my question for you today is, what is God's love language? Does anybody really consider that? Like, how can we please God more? And what is his ultimate love language? Well, there's five of them up there. So I thought, well, I could go over five of them. And then I thought, what would be his favorite? So in this scripture, there are a lot of action words. There's the word hate, cling, honor, keep, serving, be again, share, and practice. Would it be safe to say that love in action is the acts of service in God's love language towards him and for him? Yes. I thought and fought with myself for weeks. And then I came to this conclusion that God gave us his son as a gift. He knew this gift would reach our love language that we needed in that time, in that moment of time. Now this gift, Jesus didn't boast. He didn't come to conquer. He came as a humble servant to us. And in that, he served his Father with genuine love by reaching, teaching, and serving. Sound familiar? Yeah, I think we've got some good things going on. In this letter of Romans, Paul is addressing the Christian believers in Rome and there are tensions between the Jews and the non-Jews. He speaks about the gospel of God's liberating and transforming salvation in Christ for all people. That's each and every one of us. Strangers, homeless, hurting, non-Christians, Christians, Christians that were Christians that are no longer Christians, all of us. In that chapter of 12, the words reveal faithful living before the faithful God. Those are important words. And an overview of the life in the Christian community. And we at this church, we are a community. We are a church body, and we are family. Knowing this, I think that we should take a look at verse 10 and 13 a little closer. The love one another with mutual affection, outdo one another in showering honor, or in the other version of the Bible that I liked, which was another version, the CEB version, be devoted to one another in love, honor one another above yourselves. That's sometimes hard to do. 13 is contribute to the needs of saints, extend hospitality to strangers. I'm going to keep going over that because that word stranger is just eating at me. If we take just these two verses and then apply God's love language to them, and we also use this as an opportunity to reach, teach, and serve, could that be God's mission for each of us beyond these church walls? If God gave us his son, and Jesus didn't use his status to be above anyone, but instead become a humble servant, and we are to live in his image, I would like to propose that God's love language is strongly acts of service. In that, how can we apply this when we leave this church on Sundays? Individually, how can we apply this today? How can we do God's mission? We are doing it within this church. It shows our community knows that they can receive food, clothing, help, but how do we have the courage to serve beyond the borders of this church? How do we have the courage to love strangers? How do we step out into the community and invite people, hurting, homeless, people in need, elderly, young students, or just people new to the community, to worship with us and among us without sounding like door-to-door salesmen? God has a mission for each of us. We listen to the calling of God, and you know it. How many of you see someone in need and drive by? Am I the only one? I drive by sometimes. How many times do you hear God's voice and you think that he's crazy and you don't act? Yeah, that's me. I'll give you one example. I was at a barbecue and I was kind of the third wheel. Didn't really know I was there. It was my son's dad's family, whatever. So I go and I hear this crazy voice in my head and it says, rub her feet. And I'm like, what? Rub her feet. Okay, whatever. So I'm like going on and I'm feeling like off to the side. Nobody's really talking to me. I'm feeling super white at that moment to get my drift. And so I saunter off to the kitchen because, you know, food is my love language. So I thought maybe I can help in the kitchen. And there was this lady in the kitchen by herself. And she was stirring things up. She was making macaroni and cheese and collard greens and fried chicken and everything was out there. And her feet, I just looked at her feet and her feet were so swollen. And this voice just came and he said, rub her feet. And I am like, I am not rubbing the stranger's feet. I don't know what they smell like. I don't know if there's onions on the side. I'm like foot phobic. I am not doing it. No, Lord, no. So I just sat there and we talked. And she did not complain once. And I said, you know, this is really going to sound crazy. I said, but I think God is speaking to me. And I think he's telling me to rub your feet. And she looked at me and she said, I didn't even know how I was going to get through today. I didn't know how I was going to wake up. She goes, when I stepped on the ground, she goes, it hurt me so bad. I cried and fell to my knees in tears. And I said, can I please rub your feet? So everybody was outside listening to music, and her and I had this very intimate moment. And at that point, my phobia went away. I grabbed her feet, and I just felt this warmth in my hands. And I just massaged her feet. And I just said, you know, I think God needs me to hear your story today. And I said, God doesn't speak to me like this, so can we just share that moment? And she shared some really intimate things with me. She changed me. She blessed me. And so I followed God for one of the first times. I still think he's crazy sometimes. But sometimes we need to thank him for those things. It still touches me. Have you given money to someone on the corner? Always, or do we first judge? Sometimes we think, oh, well, this person has kids. This person has a dog. This person, I don't know, he looks intoxicated, so I'm not going to bother with him. And that's kind of how we are as people. When we give money or food, we drive off and we give ourselves a pat on the back. What is the purpose of that when we are only meeting an instant need? You know, that person needs more than a buck and a meal. That person needs somebody to speak to. They're human beings. I had a pastor challenge me once, and he said, kind of the whole congregation, he challenged us to not just give money, but to step out in courage with the love of God. If they're on the corner and it's Wendy's, and If you need to park your car, go up to them and say, hey, can you have a meal with me? I'd like to hear your story today. I know that's hard for us. Sometimes it's scary. Sometimes we feel that it's unsafe. So don't go out of your way down an alley by any means. But if you feel that God calling you and tugging at your heart, it's for a reason. And if you become like me and you don't carry cash, I challenge you to make a hygiene kit. Go to the Dollar Tree, get a toothbrush, some toothpaste, a little thing of deodorant, even a roll of toilet paper if needed, and a $5 bill. But make sure you take the time to get to know their name and ask them, hey, can I pray for you? Reaching out to these different people, they now have that name instead of the homeless. We can continue to serve and pray for them here at this church. Because that's important. We believe in prayer, right? But if we have a name to pray for, there's more power to that. God knows our needs, but if we're praying for them, it's going to bless our socks off. I believe that with all my heart. Spreading the good news pleases God and in an act of service as well, but we don't need to beat them down with our beliefs. We can say, this may sound crazy to you. Sound familiar? But God wanted me to hear your story today and thank them for blessing you. Let's be a church that takes a little risk, not something that puts you in danger, like I said. We live in fear all the time, but that's what keeps us from reaching out to the people that need Jesus the most. That is love right there. God's love, because these people are the least of these. Remember? Lord, when did we feed you? Lord, when did we clothe you? Did you know that there are over 100 verses in the Bible regarding acts of service? But here are two that stood out to me. Galatians 5:13 through 14. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. Mark 10:44 through 45, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. So take this chance, reach out, and not only do for someone, but get to know their story. Get to know their name so that they are no longer just the homeless. They are no longer the hurting. They are no longer the needy, the elderly, the student, the least of these. They become Charisse, who is struggling with drug addiction. They become Diane, who became homeless after she lost her job. They become James, who lost his wife and who he doesn't think life is worth living anymore. Ask them if you can pray for them. And even if they say no, you have their name and you can pray for them anyway. Plant those seeds, those mustard seeds. You're never going to see what they grow out to be, but when you touch somebody's life, it's going to make a difference. Pray for the lives that you touch in the community as a whole and the church body, not to conform, but to transform. Let's live out God's mission daily and have the courage to serve and have the courage to love even the least of these. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you with a serving heart. May we take your mission with us each day beyond these doors to reach, teach, and serve, to speak your love language in acts of service, to glorify your name, Lord, and to spread the good news beyond the borders of this church. In Jesus' name, I pray.